Have you ever wondered what life is like for a phone sex operator? Well, you've come to the right place for something a little sexy. Join me, Celine Starr, as I traverse the wide world of sex and sex work in a positive, sexy way. Sponsored in part by the Fable Beard Company, this is Whimsical Sexperts. Hi there, thanks so much for joining me and for listening in. I'm Celine, of course, and this is Whimsical Sexperts. If you're new here, this is a podcast about the sexy things that I do as work and also other sexpertise and sex positive things like kinks and fetishes and sex work friendly topics. Today, I have a special guest for you. Her name is Liv Harper. She is my partner in life and also is a content creator. She creates content on OnlyFans. She uses Twitter as a promotional platform. She is also on such platforms like Night Flirt and Sext Panther. If you key in to after the show, I'm going to go ahead and list everywhere that you can find her and definitely add her on Twitter if you're interested in being a client. So not to delay any further, but here is our guest spot. So today, for this episode, we're actually going to sit down and have a chat with my life partner and partner in love, Liv Harper. She is a fantastic creator, a beautiful woman, and one of my favorite people. So I'm going to let her sit and introduce herself to you because I hope that she's going to be a regular guest on our show and that you're going to hear a lot from her as we discuss different topics. So hi, Liv. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Hi, I'm Liv. I'm Celine's partner and a fellow sex worker and content creator. I'm a huge nerd and a gamer, which is probably why I get along so well with Celine and our other partner. You probably already know, but I live as part of a polyamorous triad with Celine and our other partner, and it's my first time being in a poly relationship, so everything is a learning experience. One thing I think is a little interesting about me is that I'm a creator with disabilities. I'm autistic and I have social anxiety, among other things. It can make things a bit challenging, like doing this podcast, for example. It's hard for me to talk about myself when I know people are listening to me. But my disabilities are actually kind of part of why I got into sex work in the first place. I thought it might be a way to gain more self-confidence and get more social interaction with people so that I could be more comfortable talking to people.
So, great. I know that it has definitely helped your confidence and changed some things for you. But I think our listeners may want to know, tell them a little bit about how we met and how we fell in love.
Well, we met in an online video game that we all played. We're in the same guild in a game, and I joined your raid group. It took a while for me to get comfortable talking to you both, but eventually I warmed up and we became fast friends. Then I started dating one of the other guys in the group, and he ended up hurting me, and you both were there for me, and the rest just sort of happened. We all fell for each other, and it was really great, and you drove across the country to pick me up and bring me home.
We did. So what is a guild and what is a raid? So for people who aren't aware, what are these things?
Guild is just like a sort of social group that like everybody tries to help everybody level or do content or just hang out. Mm-hmm. And a raid is really hard content in a game that's meant to be super challenging, and you have to have a set group of people to go in and do it because you have to learn how to work together and do everything together to beat the boss.
Yes. So basically what she's telling you guys is nothing that we did in the beginning had anything to do with sex or the like. We were just really, really good friends, mm-hmm. and everything just sort of happened. So how has being in a polyamorous triad helped you?
It's definitely helped me to feel more loved and supported. I pretty much never have to be alone, which is really good for me. If someone is busy, there's usually someone else to spend time with, which is really nice. And I know that I have more than one person who cares for me and wants me in their life.
That's not wrong. We do support each other, and it's like a nice support system. You always have that person to depend on just in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just for our listeners, where do you see our relationship in 5 years?
Well, I'd love for us to have a commitment ceremony. I think that would be a really special thing for me. Otherwise, I hope not too much changes unless it's for the better. I hope our relationship will be even stronger by then and we'll still cherish each other as much as we do now, or maybe even more. And I really hope that we can do more traveling together.
I miss traveling so much. I look forward to having some escapades and some outgoings. Mm-hmm. So, sex and sex work wise, so we're going to talk about your sexpertise now. What do you do? Tell us a little more.
I'm mostly an OnlyFans creator. I share photos and videos, do custom videos, sext, video chat, make dick rating videos, occasionally do girlfriend experiences or role playing. Mm-hmm. I've done phone sex too. I might go back to that sometimes.
Yeah, I know that's kind of hard when you have social anxiety. It's a little tough to be on the phone all the time.
Yeah, it is.
But she's good at it. She gives good sex on the phone. She gives good sex in real life too, but the phone sex is real good too.
Oh my gosh.
But that's my expertise. She's a content creator, which I think is fantastic, and she makes some pretty lovely content because my partner is really sexy, in case you guys weren't aware of that. So just so that our listeners know, I want to make sure and promote you as much as I can because that's what I do for all of my guests, including ones that I'm personally involved with. What platforms do you use?
I mostly use OnlyFans, but I've used Nightflirt and Sex Panther as well. I was going to set up a Chatterbait, but I never actually got around to it. I still might try that out sometime, especially since we have the Lovins toys sitting around the
right, house. We have them all, and the fob and everything. We have all the things for anybody to be like, I want you to turn this toy up to 50 and go for it. Yes. Well, and that's good because you're really varied. So Liv is actually an example of having a varied presence on different platforms really helps you to connect with your audience and to maximize your monetization of yourself because you're the product, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So has all of this made a difference in your confidence or in your sexuality?
I think it's made a little bit of a difference at least. I think I'm a bit more confident than I was. It's definitely encouraging to get a bunch of messages from people saying how attractive or awesome they think you are. It definitely makes me feel better about myself. And it's really great to see content sell. It makes me feel like people are actually interested in me, and that's a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really awesome to see the money start to come in. Like, I was really surprised at how much people would pay just to see me on camera or talk to me. Because I don't do meetups or anything. I just do
online content.
Yeah. And they pay just for that.
Yeah. And it feels really good to have even like that first initial content sale that you make. It feels really good to know that people want to see you so much that they want to support you too. Well,
yeah,
that may not be foremost in most of our audience's minds, like our buyers' minds, but it is true. They're supporting us in a way, and that's really a nice feeling.
Yeah, they are.
What are some of your least favorite experiences and some of your most favorite experiences?
Okay, I can definitely think of two least favorite experiences. Both of them were terrible. The first one's kind of a long story, so I'll just give a bit of a summary of it. I found an ad on a site looking for a paid submissive and thought, okay, I'll bite, maybe it'll be fun. So I message the guy and tell him I'm interested. We talk, work out terms, and I was a little stupid because I had just gotten into doing sex work and let him talk me into a tally mark system instead of just getting a flat rate up front. Never do this.
Don't do that.
Pay before play. Seriously, just trust me on this one.
Always.
Anyway, the terms were I would have to write a tally mark on my body every time I made this guy come. And on a certain date that we'd set, I would add up all of the tallies, and he'd give me $50 for each one. It seemed really insistent that's how he wanted to pay me, and maybe that should have been a red flag, but I let him talk me into it. Every day before I got dressed, I'd have to pick out three outfits and send him pictures, then he'd pick one, and I had to take a video of myself getting dressed in that outfit. He'd occasionally ask for roleplay sessions or just sexy conversations over text, but nothing ever too difficult. One day, Celine sat in on a session, and I introduced them, and she agreed to start doming for him. under the agreement that he would pay me first and he could pay her some later.
Yeah, it was cheap. I was telling myself cheap because it was a client of hers and I wanted to support her and make sure that she got paid well.
Yeah, and she was doing it for way less than she's worth. And she'd basically control every aspect of his life because he was that needy and helpless. And she was doing it all pretty much for free.
For practically nothing.
Like, she had to do everything for him. Meal plans, everything.
Exercise, life coaching, when to get up, when to go to bed, schedules, like you name it. Because that's what doms do when it's a life dom. And it is. It was crazy.
She was basically his babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this goes on for a while and causes its own share of drama around our house for various reasons. And finally, it gets to be the date that we agreed he'd pay on. He tells me I didn't get as many tallies as he wanted me to, and says we'll give it a few more days for me to earn more so he can pay me more. Like an idiot, I agree. More time passes, and he's still getting services from both me and Celine. Finally, he tells us he doesn't have the money to pay. At this point, he owes me $350, and I'm beyond pissed. And he doesn't leave it at that.
Mm-mm.
He continues to plead with us to continue servicing him like he's entitled to it. Tells us he's going to die without our help. Even says he wants to just be friends with us. Then has the balls to say he doesn't want a friendship without kink.
Which, that it doesn't work for me. Yeah. I don't do kink with my friends in real life. I definitely don't do kink with my friends online. They're partners or clients, not in between.
Yeah, and that shit ain't free, dude.
Mm-mm.
And he didn't even give it a rest. He continued to try to reach out to us for months with the same stuff. Wanting to be friends, but refusing if kink wasn't involved. Still refusing to pay what he owed, but wanting more services. It only finally ended when I went off on a tirade at him and said some pretty nasty things because he just wouldn't get it otherwise. And then we just blocked him.
Mm.
That was definitely a lesson learned. The second bad experience happened when I tried to help another creator out on OnlyFans and do video chats with her clients while she was away on a trip.
Oh, this one's juicy. This one's super juicy and crazy.
I thought it was as simple as that. Like, just video chats with her clients, just as a substitute.
Easy, easy, right?
Yeah. But then she starts having me talk to some dude she says is her manager and sending them all kinds of content. Pictures, videos, everything.
Mm-hmm.
All of this happened so fast, I had no time to think or consider anything. But it started to get really sketchy when he called me on video chat and had me do all sorts of things as a sort of interview. Like, they had a company that they wanted me to be part of, and I had to show that I could do everything up to their standards.
And it was insanity standards, like really crazy. Yeah.
But I'm so flustered, I can't even think to stop any of it. And eventually, Celine gets pulled into it too, and he's having us do things together on camera. And it's things I don't even want to talk about,
right?
Scat play and stuff like that. I don't do that at all. It's a hard no. At this point, it's been hours out of my day and Celine's day doing this. And I'm really exhausted and emotionally drained. And I just want it all to end. But this guy's nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about taking us to New York and getting professional photos taken. And I'm thinking, hold on. This is super sketchy. Are we about to be trafficked?
It's very likely, because it was really crazy and it was so sketch.
Yeah, it really, really was. But Celine seemed really excited about it because it could be an opportunity for her to have a career that she really enjoys. And I didn't want to hold her back from that, so I just kind of went along with it anyway.
Yeah, it was not good.
And we were both still really new at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So... still a little naive. And eventually, we just had to tell the guy we needed a break to talk things over with our other partner. Because I was about to have a breakdown. Because it was just that exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked it through, agreed it seemed really suspicious, and decided we were going to turn them down and just be done with it. Despite the people saying how much crazy amounts of money we were going to make.
It sounded really unrealistic.
Yeah. And we talked to some other clients and friends who had some input on it.
And we're like, hey, does this sound like a legitimate thing? And like one of my clients was like, hey, this sounds like this sort of trafficking like arrangement that people make. And I had to go look it up. And I was like, oh, hell no, that is not us. And it is not what we're going to do at all.
Yeah. And
so after that.
Yeah. After that, we told the guy that we weren't going to do it. And he insults us. And he calls us fat and ugly and old. And then the girl from OnlyFans starts insulting us too. Mm-hmm. The two of them said a lot of really gross things about us and kept harassing us until eventually we had to report them to both Twitter and OnlyFans and block them and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now the girl's page has been taken down on both platforms and she's just gone. We really think that was just a trafficking ring and that she might not even have been a real person. Like, it was a dude behind it the whole time. That was another learning experience.
Yes, we have so many. That was a big one.
Yeah, that was a scary one, too.
Mm-hmm.
As far as best experiences go, I don't really have any that stick out to me. I had some fun and funny moments doing collaborative work with Celine for a client who's into degradation and pet play.
Oh, it was fun, yeah.
had us do a lot of things that just, when you're doing them, seemed kind of silly and were just kind of fun.
But he really liked them. Like, he really yeah. enjoyed them. Yeah. But we found it really kind of silly and fun activities. Even though it was supposed to be degrading, it was just fun.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Things like drinking from a dog bowl or stuffing us both into one dog cage.
Which was funny. It was really so funny. Yeah.
I did once have to dump an entire bottle of lotion on myself for a video. It wasn't fun being covered in lotion. It's kind of gross and slimy. But it was a really funny thing to be asked to do on camera.
It was.
And I had fun making Silence of the Lambs jokes.
Like, yeah,
I would just be sitting there, it puts the lotion on its skin, it puts the lotion on its skin.
It was so much.
It was a lot of lotion, guys. I'm not even kidding.
I have this video.
There was nowhere for the lotion to go.
Just message me if you want this video. I'm sure we can work it out. Gosh. It's pretty hilarious.
It's so much lotion.
Mm-hmm. So with all of this, I know that sex work can be pretty intense and clients can be pretty needy and, you know, people need us and they want to talk to us. Does this impact your personal relationships? So has it impacted our relationship or your personal relationships being a sex worker?
I think that you and I both being in sex work does impact our personal relationships some.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some issues with jealousy, butting in too much to each other's business, and just not having enough time for each other.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
But I think we've got most of that worked out by now.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to realize that all of it is just work and that clients are just clients.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't people we're going to date and it's all just fantasy. And intentionally making time for each other helps too.
Definitely.
Setting time when we're not working and won't answer messages from clients is definitely helpful and important.
Mm-hmm.
Also, reminding myself that this is a learning experience for both of us and trusting in each other's judgments is really important. Sometimes, even if you think you know what's best, you have to just step back and let them handle it on their own and trust that they'll figure it out, because in the end, it's their business and they have to run it how they want to run it.
Right. Definitely. So I want to ask you a question that's personal. What are your fetishes and kinks? Because I ask everybody.
Well, I like bondage. I like to be tied up. Cuffs, ropes, anything
mm-hmm.
like that. I especially love shibari.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's just really aesthetically pleasing, and I love to see all the different beautiful things people can do with something as simple as rope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a masochist, so I like to be spanked, flogged, bitten, things like that. I love lingerie, corsets, stockings, leather, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit interested in pet play. I'd love to wear ears, a tail, like a butt plug tail and a collar.
Mm-hmm. And just play.
Yeah, just kind of act like a kitten or a puppy and just have fun. And I don't really think of it as a kink because it's not really sexual to me, but I'm a little. And our partner is my daddy dom, and Celine also acts as my caretaker at times as well.
So that's something a little special for us, and it's something that has definitely been a key for our relationship. And I'm going to ask you about that in a little bit, but I'm going to ask now, what sorts of things do you specialize in?
I don't know that I really have a specialty per se, but I do get asked to do a lot of dick rating videos. They're kind of fun and easy to do, so I don't mind doing them at all. I pretty much just get to look at pictures of dicks
and, all day, and every day, whenever.
Tell people how I feel about them, like what I like about them, what I would want to do with them, like
what
kind
like
of thing.
Describing them in like flowery language. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I love the veins on that cock. It's so nice.
Or like, it has such a great shape. That mushroom head is so awesome.
Right?
Like, it looks like so much fun. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I also think role playing could be a bit of a specialty for me. People seem to really enjoy it, and it's something I've done as a hobby for years, so it kind of comes natural to me.
Do you prefer to be the dominant or the submissive in the role play? Do you like to run the role play, or do you like it to be run for you?
As far as running the role play, I feel like I tend to end up running it more, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm the dominant character. It just means that I'm doing all the work.
That's true. And normally we do a lot of work in role play when it comes to sex work.
Yeah, because that same guy who didn't pay me the $350 he owed me had me role playing as his submissive, but he didn't do any of the writing. It was basically me writing for both myself and him.
Yeah, which can happen. So, but it's like no interaction. Like you have to role play with yourself.
It was more like writing a sexy story than actually role playing.
Yeah.
So
that's great. And I get asked for role play a lot too. I think it's a really common way for people to explore their fantasies is by getting some feedback from a person on the other line who may be a little bit more open to how that plays out. So, you know, I know that you have lots of specialties. But I also know that some of these kinks and fetishes are important for you. How are these kinks and fetishes therapeutic for you and your audience?
I think most of my kinks are therapeutic for me because they allow me to give up control. They let me not have to make decisions or think about what I have to do for a while because all I have to do is do what I'm told or let someone tie me up or act like a kitten. I grew up having to be really independent, and so I've always had to be in control of everything for myself, and it's really stressful. So I think my kinks let me relieve some of that stress. And being a little lets me be who I really am and act how I feel inside sometimes without judgment from anyone. I can play with dolls or color or watch a kids show without anyone telling me I'm being immature or childish. Instead, all I get is nurturing and love. It makes me feel more safe, protected, and supported.
Right, which is really important. And being a caretaker and being a little, I think, is a really misunderstood kink. And it's not even really a kink sometimes. It's hard to explain, but it is really therapeutic. It's the best thing that I've found
like
works for you.
A lifestyle and like a coping mechanism, kind of.
It is a coping mechanism. And it helps. It's helped us really understand you more and be able to support you better when the days are not so good. Because you have, with being disabled, you have good days and bad days. And sometimes some days are worse than others.
Yeah, and sometimes the stress is just too much, and it's just hard for me to handle it all. So being able to just let go of that and regress and do something like coloring in a coloring book or whatever, and having people just understand that just what I need at the moment is really, really helpful and really nice.
Yeah. So find yourself some partners that support you. It helps a lot, right?
Right.
It's good. Well, I am glad that you joined me today, and I hope that you come back and we'll have maybe a whole session on littles and what makes a little and how you can be little and be accepted. But for now, I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
Oh, okay. So thanks for listening. I'll list every way that you can see Liv's content or follow Liv after this podcast, and definitely check in next week. We'll have a brand new episode. I hope everyone has a sexy and salacious day. Thanks for listening in. To get regular updates, exclusive content, and to engage with me directly, find me on Twitter at sexandwhimsy. That's the at symbol and then SexAndWhimsy. Share this with your divergent friends, as each episode is completely free and easy to find on any platform that you use to listen to podcasts. As a quick reminder, this podcast is sponsored by The Fable Beard Company. Remember, you can save 15% on your order by using my code SexAndWhimsy15 at FableBeardCo.com. If you find yourself wanting more, come join me every Sunday for a new episode. Let me know you've listened in by tapping in on Twitter or whimsicalsexperts.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you have a sexy and salacious day. If you're interested in seeing the kinds of content that Liv creates, or you want to give her a high five for the podcast that you listened to today, you can find her on Twitter at LivHarper6. That's the at symbol and then capital LIV as in Victor, capital HARPER and the number 6. If you have any questions or comments or feedback, you can definitely leave them with her. She'd love to hear from you, and I hope you join us here next week for a new episode.